Folks, Muhammad began preaching, right? Very, very early. And he didn't preach very long, folks. He only preached 23 years. Okay? That's all he preached. He began with about 150 followers. And in 23 years, he had 100,000 followers. And now, it is a dominant religion in the world, isn't it? 1 billion people, and only one rivalry. Does anybody know who it is? Catholicism. They too boast of 1 billion adherents. Okay? That's the only other, anybody that rivals them, okay? And, you know, think about Muhammad, right? Muhammad is a what? He's just a shepherd. He's a caravan leader, right? He's ignorant and unlearned, right? That's what they say. Never went to school. And yet, a man like this can establish a religion that is trying to dominate the world today. And the question is, how does that happen? How did that religion ever take hold to start with? That's what I want to know. Okay? Because it just boggles my brain. When you do a little study, though, you find that it's very easy. In a book written by Noni Darwish, the name of the book is Cruel and Unusual Punishment, she gives the reasons for the success of this religion, folks. And when you understand it, it makes a lot of sense. Okay? And so, let's very quickly go through this, all right? Let's look first at the background of the Muslims, okay? They were desert dwelling, right? Desert dwellers, is that true? What kind of clothing did they wear? Robes and veils, right? White. And because of the climate. Isn't that right? Sand storms. Man, you don't want that sand in your face. So what do you cover everything up? Okay, so they robes and veils. That's just part of their culture. Okay, next. No centralized government at the time. Okay? Saudi Arabia did not have centralized government. How were they run? By families and clans. Okay? And so, did that make it pretty nice? Yeah. Okay? The Eskews, they might have their little clan over there, right? And the Stanleys, they have their little clan over here, right? That makes me something. Okay? Especially if I'm the patriarch, right? I'm the big daddy of the Eskew clan. He's the big daddy of who? The Stanley clan. Okay? And, you know, everybody likes a little power, right? Why don't little churches not just fold up their doors and go to a bigger church, save the money, and build up another congregation? Because, boy, they've been here 50 million years, and two little guys, we run this place. And they're proud of it, aren't they? You see, power is wonderful. Okay? And in Saudi Arabia, in the days of Muhammad, there was no centralized government. Okay? Just everywhere in the land, just a family here, tribe there, a clan there, and everybody had their little spheres of influence. Okay? Next. Wealth was accumulated how? Through spoils. Might makes right. Doesn't it? Okay? Stanley clan ticks the Eskew clan off. Now we're going to find out who's the big daddy. Right? You know, Marcus comes over and he just whoops up on his boy. Okay? Guess what he gets? He gets all my stuff, including my women. Doesn't he? And he can go back home. Okay? But I got a brother who's got a clan he forgot about. Right? And my brother finds out that you raided my clan. Guess what? Eskew Clan 2 coming to the rescue. And if they whoop up on the Stanley clan, guess who gets the spoils? We're right back in business, aren't we? See? Okay? Folks, the leaders were always determined by strength and victory. Okay? Strength and victory. And watch this. The women were drawn to the strong, weren't they? For support and protection. And in that country, the women were subjugated. The men could have many wives. The women needed the protection of the stronger of the tribe, right? It's better to have one man being your husband who is strong and wealthy rather than just being passed around from tribe to tribe to tribe to tribe to tribe to tribe, right? And not knowing who you're going to get how they're going to treat you. Okay? If the tribe was overtaken, then guess what happened to the women? They became the slaves of the other tribe. Now, folks, what I'm talking about right here is not a religion, okay? I'm talking about the cultural makeup of Saudi Arabia in the days of who? Of Muhammad, okay? Problems. Right there, Saudi Arabia, peninsula, okay? In the days of Muhammad, there were some struggles that were going on that were threatening this lifestyle of the Saudis. Okay? Two big ones. Numero uno. Okay? To the north and to the west were centralized governments. Saudi didn't have that, right? We just have a lot of powers all over the place, right? What if one of these centralized governments come down into Saudi Arabia, overthrows us, and then what are they going to establish? A central government. And what does that mean? We lose all our power, all our jurisdiction, all our authority, all of our wealth, and we don't want that. So that was problem number one, okay? Was the centralized governments. Secondly, Judaism and Christianity began to make inroads into Saudi Arabia. Now, why is that bad for the Saudis? Well, it was bad because of what these two religions taught, isn't it? Just think about this. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Folks, that stops all the raids, doesn't it? I don't want you attacking me, so guess what? I'm not going to attack you, right? If you embrace Christianity. What about this one? One man with one woman for life. Man, are you kidding me? I just raided a tribe and there were 500 wonderful looking women and I took 10. And now you, as a Christian, want me to give all these beautiful women up? Are you kidding me? Oh. Threatening their lifestyle, folks. Okay? Now these are real threats, aren't they? You know, there's a lot of individuals who will not embrace Christianity because Christianity changes their lifestyle. Isn't that true? You've got to quit drinking. You've got to get out of adultery. You've got to give up stealing. You've got to quit cussing. They don't want to do that. They look, you're just too restrictive. Okay, that's the same threat to the Saudis at the time. Well, boom. Muhammad's born. You ever heard of being born at the right place at the right time? He was. Okay? Unbelievable. Okay? Look at this statement, folks. The religion of Islam preserves the Arabian culture. Doesn't it? No centralized government. Is there? Tell me where the centralized government is. There isn't. There's little dictatorships all over the stinking place, right? And you put one down, and guess what? Somebody else steps right in his place, doesn't he? Sure does. See, there's no centralized government to this thing. And they don't want centralized government. That's why they hate us. Right? We go into a place and try to centralize the government, don't we? All those little powers get dispersed. Now you've got to get elected if you want to be in power. No, I don't. I wasn't elected before and I ain't going to be elected now. And so they rebel against it, don't they? Okay? Power is the key, isn't it? And it's still the key to this stuff. Is the Arabic language preserved in the Islamic religion? Yes. Folks, everything revolves around the Arabic language, right? What are we trying to preserve? We're trying to preserve the Arabic peninsula from all those inroads of other people. If they get in here, guess what they'll do? They'll change our language. English might become the dominant language, and we're not having that mess. We want what? We want Arabic. Okay? What else? Sharia law protects old cultural practices, right? What are women supposed to wear? Yeah, the burqas, right? Where are women supposed to stay? You need to stay home, cook, woman. Bad old children, right? You don't get out here in public. If you do, I'm going with you. Or who? One of my male family members is going out there with you, right? Woman is subjugated. That's the way it used to be, right? Women were subjugated. Men still what? Dominate society. Now watch this next statement. Folks, all of the aforementioned things, okay, can now be done through military action in the name of a supreme God named Allah. Right? Okay? We see our culture beginning to fade, right? We see our culture beginning to slide. What are we going to do about it? Muhammad is a political man, folks. That's what he is. And he has come up with a system to preserve the Saudi Arabian culture. That's exactly what he did. Okay? And you follow that religion, and guess what? You'll become like the Saudis, won't you? Listen to this statement by Darwish. With Islam replacing Judaism and Christianity, the Arabian culture and language would dominate, preventing any challenge to the supremacy of the culture of Arabia and its male warrior Bedouins. Now you got to remember, this is happening where? Back in the 700 ADs, right? Way back yonder. And so, Muhammad, he sees what's happening, and he's a sharp cookie, okay? He's a what? He's a caravan leader, right? He understands tribes. He understands clans. He understands the culture. He can speak the language. We don't want any of this stuff slipping away from us. So what do I got to do? I've got to formulate something to do what? To preserve the culture. Folks, it does, doesn't it? Watch the conclusion. Okay? Muhammad developed a program whereby he could protect his native homeland and its culture. Any nation that is overcome by Islam takes a step back in time, not forward. Isn't that true? You women will take a step back in time if you embrace the Muslim religion. You will. Okay? There's no doubt about it. Watch this next statement. Not one nation that has ever embraced Islam has become wealthier or better because of it. Not one. Okay? Why? Because they're still trying to set up a culture like the one that Muhammad was raised in. Explains a lot, doesn't it? It explains a lot to me. And I was just amazed. I said, wow, here's something that just light bells went off. Okay? Explains a whole bunch. Especially why Muhammad did what he did and why he tried to establish this religion. Okay? Guys, there's two websites I want to recommend to you very quickly. One of them is in your notes. Okay, if you'll go back into the previous section there. Under Islam's push being made in the United States, go to IslamistWatch.org, and they have regular articles about different places in the United States where Sharia law is being pushed and implemented. Okay, and they try to keep that thing as up to date as they possibly can. Okay, huh? It's in your notes under Islamic push being made in the United States. It's called IslamistWatch.org. The Florida Family Association, folks. Okay, right here in Florida, they are monitoring Islam and its push here in Florida. Okay. You can go to their website, or you can go to FFA at FloridaAssociation.com. FloridaFamily.org. And you can sign up to get on their email list, and you will get emails, on a regular basis, telling you about court cases, telling you about decisions, telling you about laws, whatever that's being battled right here in the state of Florida. So that'll keep you up to date here. Okay? Questions or comments? I'm about to shut this baby down for good. I'm about sick of looking at y'all. I know the feeling's mutual. That's part of it. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of factors, folks. Fear causes us to do a lot of things too, and we have to be, Saul wouldn't go out and fight Goliath. Why? Fear. Right? And it took
David, a man of faith, to stand up and fight the enemy. And we need some men of faith to arise in the United States and fight the battles for us.
Yeah, hard enough. You know, people say a lot about the government, but sometimes I take a personal approach to it. When I hear things like this, you know, as we study here, is that maybe I can.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, because I think a lot of times, you know, but now that we understand a little bit about Islam, I think we have to take this and apply it. Heard and apply it and say, okay, then what can I do? Because a lot of times, you know, we take the word of God and we know it's the power. And you see somebody that's even in Islam, he may try to teach me. My thing is I have to try to teach him.
That's right. Absolutely.
If we don't do that, then I think we can kind of sit there and blame the government, blame everybody else, where it's the time for us to.
Yep.
We've
got to get involved. We've got to contact our senators, our House of Representatives, our local officials. We got to stand up and fight, won't we? And like you said, teach Christianity. You know, we've been kind of scared of it and ashamed of it. And so you're absolutely right. Thank you, guys. I appreciate it. I really do.
Thank you, Mr.
Y'all have a good night.